to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Let me remind you, in the back we have the daily Bible readings. And let me just say, though, I'd like to really get them all out. And so we're just going today, since you came on the day after Christmas, they are free. So if you'd like one, you can have one personally for free. If you want more than that, they're $2 a piece. But if you'd like a daily Bible reading, they're on the back, I think the back pew back there. And they are free, and you take them and start your year off right. I want to talk to you today a little bit. Even though it's the day after Christmas, we kind of move on from Christmas because we're looking forward to the new year. Before you close your eyes tonight, we'll be with Samuel out in California tonight. And we'll take greetings from the church to him. And always enjoy a little bit of time that we get to spend with him. But I'm going to talk to you about starting your new year. Because, we have a saying called hit the ground running. You know, so like you ever held a baby and its feet is moving, and when you set the baby down, it takes off. And it was already moving before it hit the ground. And a lot of people wait till the new year to say, I'm going to turn a new leaf. I'm going to do this, do that. It's a lot better to hit the ground running when January 1st rolls around. Instead of then trying to get momentum, it's always better to have some momentum heading that way. So everybody stand up this morning. I want to talk to you about... The name of the sermon today is called West Side Story. Everybody say West Side Story. All the youth and, probably the younger guys, they don't have a clue what that was. That was a movie back in, 1960, 61, of two gangs in New York City, I believe it was. And it was a musical. How many saw Miracle on 34th Street? You saw Miracle? The little girl is grown up. It's just Natalie Wood. And she grew up and she was starred in that movie called West Side Story. And so if you hear that or think of it, how many ever saw West Side Story? Let's see your hands if it's okay. How many never have a clue what it is, all right? Well, more than not. And so I want to talk to you today about the real West Side Story. Long before 1960s ever rolled around, there was another West Side Story that took place. The script is totally different and all. And you'll read about it in Exodus. I'm sorry, go ahead and go to scripture. Exodus 3:1 says, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the what? To the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And it's there that he saw the burning bush. It was there on the west side that he has this experience with God that changed an 80-year-old man's life. My dad is doing well, but he's still 80 years old. He's frail. But I was thinking of that because Moses is at this point when he has his West Side Story experience is 80 years old. All right. I won't say if you think that's old or not because we have some here. But 80 years old, Moses experiences his West Side Story. And we want to talk about it this morning. Father, just ask you, help us today to hit the ground running for the new year. Father, thank you for these moments in time when we can reassess and think through and prepare our hearts for what you want in our lives. Lord, I pray today for those that need a West Side Story in their life, an experience with you, that they would experience it, Lord, in these days ahead and hit the ground running in 2011. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen? Amen. Turn around. Tell somebody, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Would you say somebody? Say, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Isaiah the prophet spoke about Moses in Isaiah 43, and he likens and he talks about what happened in Moses' life. And I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning about what happened in Moses' life can happen in ours, because everything in the Bible was not there just to entertain us. Everything in the Bible was there for our example. Come on, somebody. That we can learn from it, that we can grow from it, that we can be changed by it. And so Isaiah 43, he speaks about Moses and what happened in Moses' life. I'm the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your king. Thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea. Remember Moses, that's what happened. Who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. That was Pharaoh and his army. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things. Now watch this. When they got through the waters, God made a way where there was no way. They got through. The enemy was conquered and like a wick put out. And when they got on the other side, here's what God said to them after 400 years of slavery in Egypt. After an 80-year-old man leads them out. Here's what God says to them. It says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a what? Everybody say it with me. A new thing, now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it, or aren't you aware of it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He did exactly that when he led them through the wilderness. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I'll give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself that they might declare my praise. And I like what it says in verse 19. It says this. He says, I will, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Everybody say that with me. I'm doing a new thing. And I want to talk to you, not only called West Side Story, I want to talk to you about God doing a new thing in your life. I believe the Lord wants to do. I believe that, and like the scripture says, behold, I do a new thing. Will you not perceive it? And the King James says, will you not be aware of it? And one of the problems about God doing a new thing is that many times we're not aware of God wanting to do a new thing in us. Because we're so used to life and we don't no longer see the miracles that's around us day in, day out. You know, everything is taking place. Grass, I believe even grass growing is a miracle. I mean, it grows. Grass grows. I know it's science of it all, but it's a miracle. The sun comes up every day. The earth turns. One of the greatest enemies to God doing a new thing in you is your past. And that is for you to say this, we've always done it, or I've always done it this way. Well, maybe your way needs to change. Come on, somebody. Maybe how you're living and what you're doing needs to change. You know, I told you the story before, but the story of the ham, where one day a daughter asked her mama, because when she went in the kitchen, they were baking the holiday ham, and the mother always cut both ends of the ham off, just sliced the ends of the ham and then baked it. And so she finally asked one day when she was learning how to cook, says, Mom, why do you cut the ends of the ham off before you bake it? And so there was some, cooking wisdom there. And she said, I don't really know. My mom always did it. So when they were home for the holidays, they went to Grandma and said, Grandma, why do you cut the ends of your ham off? And the grandma said, I don't know. My mom always did it. And her mom was still living. And she asked her great-grandma, said, Mom, Grandma, why do you cut the ends of your ham off? And she said, because my oven was too little for the whole ham. And you might be cutting yourself short and don't even know why. Come on, somebody. Just because you do what you learned or how it did it. So we live sometimes when we think is the will of God, but we're shortening our lives. We're not doing everything God wants us to do. And God is wanting, I believe, to do some new things in lives of people, because God is so creative and God is so miraculous that he's not stuck in a rut, and he's got new things for our lives. And it doesn't matter how old you are, be courageous enough to let God teach you and use you in something new. I always loved to learn new things. And when I got older, I never could play an instrument. I learned to play an instrument later on in life. Some of you, computers is that. How many remember the first time you ever wanted to get on the internet? You remember that? Where is it? What is it? Where do you go? Is it out yonder? And you finally break through, you start doing it. And there's other things that God begins to do in your life. And Moses, impossible situation, God wants to make a new way. Moses, in verse 16, it says, it's really referring to, as I said, he says, thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot, horse, army, warrior, they lie down, they cannot rise, they're extinguished, quenched like a wick. He's talking about what God did in the life of Moses. And what I want to do is, I want to talk to you about five ways to get ready for God to do a new thing in your life. Five things you can do between now and the new year to hit the ground running. That you don't have to wait till January 1st and say, then I want God to do something new. I want to talk to you about five ways, and there were five ways that God worked in the life of Moses, an 80-year-old frail man, that he's that old. He's not heard from God in 40 years. I'll talk about that in just a second. He had not heard a word from God for 40 years. Some of us get upset because we don't have a new dream and vision every day. 40 years, God had not spoken to this man. And God prepares him and God does a new thing in his life. And I want to talk about these five ways to get ready for God to do a new thing. Number one is this. You've got to forget 2010. Listen, if you get mired and stuck how you did it, the failures you did, all the rest, you've got to forget 2010. Verse 18 says this way, do not remember not the former things, nor consider things of old. He talks this to them right when he gets them on the other side of the Red Sea. He says, now I want you to forget about all that Egypt and all that transpired, everything that's happened. I want you to forget about yesterday. And that means don't even bring them to your mind. He's talking of some memory things to be wiped out of your mind. Things have been said, failures you've done, limitations in your life. Things you've done to where you really don't want to remember. The good thing is the Bible says, God said, don't remember the things of old. Don't bring it to pass. Don't bring it to mind. There's nobody here that has not had some failures. There's nobody here that has had some mistakes in 2010. But listen, you cannot live in the past. You've got to come to a place where you, when you get forgiveness, then the past is the past. Joseph, when he became fruitful, the Bible says he named his first child, and one translation says it this way, past, shut up. Come on, somebody. You've got to learn to let your past and speak. Listen, you've got to learn how to speak. You've got to learn how to speak things that come against you. You've got to learn how to say your past, shut up. Be quiet. Because if you allow your past to control you, you'll always do what you did in the past. You know, one of the keys about life is somebody said, Pastor, I missed the calling of God on my life 10 years ago. I knew God wanted me to do such and such, and I missed it. Let me tell you, one time I was with Samuel over in Texarkana, and I remember I drove somewhere in the hills of Texarkana, and I was trying to get back, and I was like a typical man. I wouldn't stop and ask directions, and I got totally lost. Finally, though, I stopped and asked directions. And you know what I learned? I learned I was so far out of the way, I could not go back to the beginning and then start. I had to get a new set of directions from where I was. Let me tell you, if you've missed the call of God, you don't go back and try to redo that again. You just start from where you are and God will give you a new set of directions. Some believe that David was supposed to build the temple. And when David began to get in his heart to build the temple, the Bible says a prophet came and said, do all that's in your heart. And before he got out of the palace, the word of the Lord came to Nathan and said, go tell David he cannot build the temple. He's been a man of blood. I don't believe that meant war. I believe it had to do with Bathsheba and all that stuff. I'll just leave that there. But what he did was this. Though he missed, I believe, a calling on his life, he did not go all the way back and pout and get all upset. You know what he started doing? God told him he couldn't build it, but God never told him he couldn't prepare to build it. So he began to gather all the materials so that when his son Solomon would begin to build, he'd already have all the materials there with the build. Can I tell you, when you're in your life, I don't care if you missed up, if you messed up, if you've done something, seek God and God can give you a new direction for your life. You get all excited. I believe David was as excited as could be preparing for his son to build what he could no longer build. Verse 19 says it this way. It says, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Listen, forget the past. Let God do a new thing in 2011 in your life. You say, oh, no, 2010 wasn't too good. Well, forget about it. Don't remember 2010. Let God do something new in you in 2011. Forget the past. In Exodus 2, listen, verse 15, look at this. The Bible says Pharaoh heard of it. He sought to kill Moses. Remember when Moses killed an Egyptian, and Pharaoh then heard about it, wants to kill him. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Let me go to the next scripture. It came to pass in the process. Everybody say process. There's something about the process of time that can really do a work in your life. The Bible says Moses killed a man, failed God, got ahead of the plan of God in his life, tried to lead Israel when he was too young. And the Bible says that he had to run away from Egypt and hide. And he did in Moab. And the Bible says in the process of time, time really does help you get over some things. You can look back over your life and say, Lord, I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish this hadn't occurred. I wish that hadn't occurred. But you've got to come to a place where you listen to the voice of the Lord that tells you it's okay not to remember the past anymore. And the process of time, in fact, when you read the process of time, I always say this. He runs away, and for 40 years, he's on the west side of the wilderness. 40 years, God does not speak to him again. For 40 years, there's a process of time. Verse 23 says again, it says, in those many days, everybody say many days. Many days was 40 years, which is 14,400 days. I think I did that right. Many days is 14,400 days. And there's something about time. You can think that you've just literally blown it so bad that, you know, it'll never happen. Exodus 3, when it says he went to the west side, it says he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness. The west side meant the backside. It meant the wilderness, the rear part. And for 40 years, 14,400 days, Moses is on the backside of a desert. He's 40 years old in the prime of his strength. And for the next 14,400 days after his 40th birthday, he's in the wilderness on the backside, on the west side story, experiencing it. And he's losing his strength. He's losing his vitality. And you think, God, why don't you use him when he's strong and vital and he could really move and charge and, you know, and oh, God. And God waits till that man gets to be 80 years old. Hadn't spoken to him in 40, hadn't heard God's voice in 40 years. He's now turned 80 years old, and he's getting ready for retirement. Come on, somebody. Social Security's already kicked in. Medicaid, Medicare, everything's great. Social Security, I've drawn everything out, had to draw everything out of saving. And now I'm just going to sort of coast on in life. I love God. You know, I've had some good times, bad times. And the Bible says the word of the Lord comes to him after he's 80 years old. Listen, it may have been a long time since you heard God's voice. Can I tell you, in 2011, God wants to do a new thing in your life. Don't you ever say, I'm just too old. I'm getting long in years. God can't use me. You know what? When you retire, that ought to be the most useful time in your life for God to use you. You're free. You're loose as a goose. Come on, somebody. God can do with you. Listen, but the first thing you've got to do is forget the past. Number two is you've got to learn how to turn aside. The Bible says this. The Bible says, look at Exodus chapter 3. It says, Moses keeping the flock, his Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led his flock to the west side, the backside of the desert, wilderness, came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, the honor is yours. The choice is yours. I will turn aside to see this great sight while the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, to see God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. If you're going to see God do something new in your life, if you're going to hit the ground running in 2011, you've got to, from now to the beginning of the year, turn aside. Moses walking along one day, he's 80 years old, hadn't heard from God in 40 years. He's probably remembering his failures. He's on the backside of the desert. And all of a sudden he saw a bush that was burning off to his left. And he's just walking along in the rut of his life. You know, he's kept sheep for 40 years. He's doing the same old, as he's done for the last 14,399 days. He's doing the same old thing he's done all those other days. And suddenly, the Bible says he sees something and he does this. He turns aside. And because he sees a little fire burning. Everybody thank God for a little bit of fire burning in you. See, God will let a little fire start burning in you if you will. Listen, but it's your choice, your honor, if you'll turn aside or not. It's whether or not you'll turn the TV off. You'll turn the computer off. You'll get off Facebook long enough to go seek God. Come on, somebody, help me out. You'll go seek God to see if there's something he wants to do with your life. You'll begin to walk along in life and you'll begin to turn aside. Moses sees the fire of God, and the Bible says, and like verse 3, it says, I will turn aside. Say that with me. I will turn aside. You've got to make that decision. It's your honor to do it. You know, I've learned this in life. The Bible says, when he turned aside. Now, look at this. When the Lord saw that he turned aside in verse 4, look at this. Says, I will turn aside. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, the Bible says, draw nigh to God. And what happens? When God saw that he turned aside, the Bible says, God called him by name. You wonder whether God knows your name or not? Let me tell you something. If you will turn aside to seek him, if you will put down the computer, put down the TV, put down the magazine, put down the book, put down whatever it is, if you will turn aside between now and the new year, let me tell you, God is real. God watches our responses to him. The Bible says when he did, if you want a new thing, you know, third thing to do is this, take your shoes off. God spoke to him, says, Moses, Moses, look at this in Exodus. He says, Lord saw he turned aside. God said to him, Moses, and he said, here I am. And notice what God said. Verse 5 says, then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. Let me give you another understanding of that. Those that did not wear shoes in that day were servants. Remember when the prodigal son came home and the Bible said, he said, make me a servant. And his daddy said, no, you're my son. Go put, and one of the things was put shoes or put sandals on his feet. Those that did not wear shoes or sandals in that day were servants. Those that were ready to work. Those that were ready to do something. And Moses comes and he turns aside, but he's got his sandals on his feet. And I know there's understanding and holiness about the Lord, but it's also an understanding of this. He's there, but he's really not there. He goes to church, but he's not really at church. He goes, he sings, but he's not really singing. He reads the word, but he's really not reading. He listens, but he's really not listening. Just to entertain, just to be entertained, to be soothing a conscience. Let me tell you something. If you're going to see God to do a new thing in your life, you need to take off your shoes and say, Lord, whatever you say do, I will do it. I am your servant, Lord. I will obey. It doesn't matter what you say. I will obey. And the Bible says Moses took his shoes off and he began to do something. The Bible says if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Moses, take your shoes off. And the Bible says he took his shoes off. And you got to understand that. That's one of the things in life. The word deacon is a word used for ministers. And it means it was the old boat that they used to have a boat. And the only way that boat would go during times of stillness when there was no wind was they had these diaconias, which were rowers of the boat. They were chained to the boat. That's all they did in their life. And one of the keys about for God to use you and do a new thing, you've got to be willing to be a servant of the Lord. Then number four is this. I like this. And I want to get to these last two. Fourth one is this. Stop cranking your motorboat. Stop cranking your motorboat. Look at Exodus 3. Look at this. He said, don't come near. Take your sandals off, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land of the good and broad land, to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression for which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I want you to know this. God comes and says, I'm going to do a new thing in your life. You've been 40 years in a rut. You know, a rut is a grave with both ends knocked out. You've been in a rut for 40 years. I want to do something new in your life. And you know what the Bible said? Can you imagine? Moses, oh, great God, you're going to do something brand new. I'm so excited. You know, that is not what he said. You know what he said? Verse 11. Moses said, who am I? Say that with me. Who am I? You know what he started doing? He started cranking his motorboat. You ever heard of motorboat? But. He started cranking his motorboat. Every time I've been fishing, they start that motorboat. That comes to my brain. But. And he starts, but. Who am I, God? And let me tell you something, he begins to crank it and he begins to get fearful. And listen, there's something about God. God can whittle away every excuse that you have. God has a way of, when you begin to do that, he begins to whittle away. And he said, you know, when we say, God, I'm so tired of being in this rut. And God says, great, I've got a new thing for you. But who am I? And Moses says that, and I like the response of God, because Moses started cranking and he said, but, and here's what the remedy was. Verse 11, who am I? But look at this. Go to the next one. Go to verse 11. Go to the next scripture. Here's the example. Moses said, who am I? Go to the next verse. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Come on, somebody. Who makes him mute? Because Moses said, who am I? Who am I to speak? Because you know, we believe that he kind of had a problem with his speech. And God said, who made man's mouth? Who made him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Go to the next scripture. But Moses said, who am I? Still. Go to the next scripture. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Let me tell you. The answer to who am I is not who you are, it's who he is. The answer about God using you is not who you are. We know who you are. You're a nobody. You ain't got much on the, you know, on the ball. You can't speak plain. You killed a man. You got a murder rap in your history. You're all this. We know about you. It's not who you are, Moses. It's who God is. When you get your eyes off of your failures, your past, what you can and cannot do, and put your eyes on God, God can do the miraculous. There was an old priest waiting on Messiah, and the angel of the Lord comes. He's in the temple, and the Bible says the angel of the Lord comes in the New Testament and tells him, Zechariah, you're going to have a baby. Your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby. And the Bible says he did not believe the word of the angel. And the angel says, I'm going to strike you dumb because you did not believe the word that I said to you. You know, sometimes God's got to keep you dumb and not be able to speak because all you speak is unbelief. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says, then the angel went to a little girl named Mary, and she's probably 16 years old, and says, the Lord, your favor of the Lord, and the Lord is going to do, you're going to have a child. And the Bible says, she didn't, in unbelief, she just says, how's it going to happen? What's going to happen? How's it going to work? And the angel says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you're going to, and the Bible says, well, let it be unto me according to thy word. Come on, somebody. She just believed. She didn't look and say, okay, it's impossible. Never can happen. It's never been happened before. Therefore, and God said, they're going to do a new thing in your life. Can I tell you about your life? You need to stop thinking about all the failures, what didn't work, what has worked, where it's all happening. Listen, and a lot of people, it's at this point that God really wants to do something in your life that is beyond your ability to do. And then the last one is this, is you got to know that God is a way maker when there is no way. Moses, he brought Moses, all those four steps, he brought Moses through. But he came, and the Bible says, Isaiah 43, look at verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I like this. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. He makes a way where there is no way. There was no boat. You remember the little boy came home from Sunday school? He said, what did you learn in Sunday school today? Mama, you ought to have seen it. Moses and Israel, they built a big boat and they went across the sea and they had fighter planes that protected them from Pharaoh's army. And they got on the other side and they all got off. And Pharaoh tried to get on the pontoon boat and he sunk in the middle and the plane shot him down and they were saved and God saved them. And the mama said, is that what they taught you? And the little boy said, no, but if I told you what they really said, you wouldn't believe me. Come on, somebody. Because God can do the miraculous. God can do something that's never happened. You know, when Moses obeyed God, he went to Egypt and spoke to Pharaoh. 10 plagues later, Egypt is in shambles and Israel comes out with a mighty force. The Bible says, God said to them, ask your neighbor jewelry and gold and silver and they'll give it to you. And because you know why? That was back pay for all those years when they worked for no money and God began to give them. They came out of Egypt rich. They came out of Egypt on a high note. They came out of Egypt. The Bible says there was not one feeble one among the millions. Because I believe they ate the Passover meal. And in that Passover meal was healing. And the Bible says even, you know, they're worried about, how's Grandpa going to make it? Well, you got an 80-year-old leader to start with. And there's Grandpa after he eats the Passover meal. I believe he come up out of that wheelchair all fresh and strength. Because God was doing a new thing. Can I tell you, don't worry about how's he going to do this? How's he going to help that? How he's going to bring this along? Listen, God has everything under control. He will make a way where there is no way. I've learned this in my life. Listen, when you think there's no way for God to do it, God parted the Red Sea and the Bible says he brought them out on dry land. It had to be at least 3 or 4 miles wide to have that many millions of people make it through in one night. God, listen, there is nothing impossible for God in your life. Can I tell you in 2011, you want God to do something new? You want God, listen, hit the ground running. Don't sit there and think this is the way it's always been. It will always be that way. God wants to do a new thing in your life. You know, go to the next scripture. Watch this. You know, Isaiah says, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Will you not be aware of it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know, Paul, when he made those rivers and brought forth water in the wilderness, you remember the story? There was a big flint rock as far as we could tell. And the Bible says God told Moses, go and strike the rock once. And he did it twice and got in trouble. But he said, strike the rock and water will gush out. When you read the Old Testament, you know what it says? Listen to this. It says the angel of the Lord was standing or sitting on the rock. You ever read that? You read the scripture. It says when Moses struck the rock, the angel, not just an angel, but the angel, which was, I don't have time to teach on that, but literally it was God himself in physical form was on the rock. And when Moses struck the rock, water came out. And literally, listen, Paul in the book of Corinthians says this. And that rock which followed them, speaking of the angel of the Lord on that rock, was Christ. And the writer of Hebrews says it this way. Watch this. The greatest miracle God ever did, the greatest making a way where there was no way. Listen, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new, everybody say new, and living way, which he opened for us through the curtain, that is to say, through his flesh. Can I tell you, the greatest miracle ever on the face of the earth was how God could make a way for a sinful man to come and have fellowship in the presence of a living God. There was no way that could, as great a miracle as Moses parting the Red Sea, the greatest miracle God ever made, the way maker ever made, was a way for sinful man to come in fellowship with an awesome, holy God. And the writer of Hebrews says this, Jesus Christ made by the new and the living way, which he opened for us through the curtain, that is to say, through his flesh. I want you to close your eyes this morning. I just want to, I know a lot of you are full and tired, and you've had a long week, and I know that you've come in, you know, with a busy schedule and holiday season and out late and lots of food you don't normally eat, and it's been a great week, and I understand it can be tiring, but at the same time, beyond all of that, in the midst of it, I believe there's a little stirring in hearts that, hey, I think God wants to do something new in my life, in my family, in my marriage, in my life, in my kids, in my life, in my direction. I think God wants to do something new in 2011. I don't want to relive it. I want God to do something new. Yeah, Pastor, it's been a long time since I heard the voice of the Lord. Listen, 14,400 days, Moses had not heard the voice of the Lord. And then at 80 years old, when it seemed like it was all over, God comes on the scene, and he's waiting for Moses to turn aside. Forget your past, but turn aside. And I can do this. In the next week, I want you to do this. I'm going to challenge you. Whatever it is that you pursue, whether it's finances, money, whether it's your laptop, your computer, whether it's the internet, whether it's TV, I want you to turn aside this week. And I want you to get along with God. And listen, the Bible says, draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. And when the Lord sees you turning aside, the Bible says, then he called Moses. Then he said, Moses, Moses. And then the Lord will come and he'll make you go a little bit further. Are you willing to be a servant? Are you willing to do what I say? Are you willing for God to turn aside? And then you do this, you're going to have God say, you know, you say, I don't know, Pastor, how in the world is this going to happen? Listen, he is the way maker when there is no way. You may be hemmed in. You may be up against something that seems no way to cross over from where you are to where you know God wants you to be. Let me tell you something. He's the God that makes a way. And he's made a way in your life before, and he will do it again. Close your eyes. Just keep them closed just for a minute. Father, this morning, I thank you, this last Sunday of 2010, that, Lord, all that you've done, Lord, we thank you, all that you've done in our lives. But right now, Lord, we do not call to mind the former days. Lord, I believe you want to do a new thing in our lives in 2011. Lord, we hit the ground running this day. Lord, we pray today, and I just really want you to do that. I want you to, listen, those of you that's here, I want you to go pick up a Bible reading because I want you to kick it off today. And Father, I pray for those that need a fresh touch from you. And Lord, you've been so faithful day in, day out. And Lord, I pray for those that are just about ready to give up and think that life is ready to put on a cruise control, that right now, Father, a little fire would begin to be burning in them. And you touch them afresh and new. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen today. Hey, can you give the Lord a good clap offering? Would you do that with me? Come on.